squad cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars.
Quite frankly, if I had my way, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in my new 69 Opel Cadet. And instead of a microphone in my hand, I'd have Cadet's sporty little gear lever. Yes, I'd be sitting very pretty, what with those rear coil springs and that deep opal seating. Oh, well, no hard feelings. But still, I would like to try the edge that 67 horsepower gives my Cadet. Yes, I asked for the high-output engine. And without asking, I also got power-assisted brakes with discs up front, GM's energy-absorbing steering column, twin reversing lights, even a windscreen that filters out sunny South Africa's ultraviolet rays. Lots of extra values like that. And in my Cadet L, the boot lights up and the engine compartment. When I showed the wife the interior, her eyes lit up too. Really swished. They've even padded the padding. But not the price. You can get a Cadet for as little as 1,515 rand. So, what am I doing here when I should be out driving my bargain? My son found the keys.
The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
p.m., the 7th of April, Greenpoint, Cape Town. Henry Bannerman, a retired bank manager, having spent an evening in the company of some of his friends at their flat, is thanking them for their hospitality.
Well, good night, Arthur, Vera.
Good night, Henry.
Thank you for a lovely evening. I haven't laughed like that for, well, it's for nearly a year.
No, don't get morbid.
No, I mustn't. I can't. I won't let myself. Not tonight. It's been really grand. Almost like old times.
Yes. Marjorie wouldn't like to hear you talk that way, you know, Henry.
You're right. But you've no idea how I miss her. It all happened at once. I left the bank. Heaven knows, that was a big wrench. And then Marjorie didn't live to enjoy our retirement.
Oh, come on, Henry. What about your grandchildren? They make life worthwhile, don't they?
Oh, yes, I've plenty to fill my days.
Now, don't leave in a couple of months before you come and see us again.
No, no. I'll be phoning you.
Well, come. I'll walk you to your car.
Oh, no, never. I won't hear of it. Hmm? The car's only just outside. Just a quick trip down the lift, out of the street, turn right, right again, and I'm there.
All right, if you're sure you can manage.
I might be a little lonely and miserable, Arthur, but as yet, touch wood, I still have all my faculties. Not even a hint of infirmity.
All right, then. Well, I can see I mustn't tread on your pride. Mm-hmm. Off you go, and let us hear from you soon, eh?
That you will. Well, good night again. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Henry.
Good night, 10:20 p.m. Henry Bannerman takes the lift down to the ground floor. There's a threat of a wet Cape winter abroad. He turns up the collar of his overcoat and sets off to where he's parked his car in a side street. No sooner has he left the comfort and security of the lights, the people and the cars of the main street for the comparative darkness and desertion of the hill round the corner than he's hailed by a voice from the shadow of a building.
Hey.
Hmm?
Just a minute.
Are you talking to me?
Didn't I know you?
That's possible. I used to manage the Lombard and District Bank in town.
Oh, I thought so. I never forget a face.
But you weren't one of my customers.
No. I was... Well, you might say I was a messenger.
Oh, I see. Anyway, if you'll excuse me...
Just a minute. Car. I was going to ask you for a match.
Hey, by all means. Let me see. Yes, here we are.
Couldn't spare a cigarette as well, could you?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. Here you are.
Thanks. Oh, I could never afford to smoke these myself.
Really?
Ta. It's hard when you're desperate for a smoke and you haven't got the price.
Yes, it must be. Well, I must be off.
Hey, just a minute. What about a bob for some bus fare?
Now, look here. When you accosted me just now...
Accosted you? What are you talking about?
I mean, when you called to me.
Yes?
You made out that you knew who I was. I think there's nothing more than an excuse to get me into conversation.
You've got a nasty mind, old man, if you can think a thing like that.
Anyway, I've had enough of this tomfoolery.
Just you mind what you say.
Will you please let go of my overcoat?
You think you're too good for the likes of me, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Is that so? Think you're better than I am, do you?
I don't think. I know.
Well, I want you to meet the equalizer. Something that'll bring me up to your level.
And what's that?
This.
Oh. That's a knife.
Bright, aren't you?
Are you threatening me?
This is my little persuader.
You let me go. Take your filthy hands off me.
Now you shut your mouth.
What do you want?
I want money.
I haven't got any.
Don't give me that, Grandad. You cough up or else.
Or else what?
Or else you're going to feel this.
Yes, I've heard about people like you. You're vicious and you're rotten.
Just mind the language, Grandad. Where's your money?
I've nothing on me.
And what's the bulge? This one here. It's your wallet, isn't it? Come on, let's have it.
You let me go. You're Russian.
Now, pack it up, Grandad. I've warned you once.
Help!
Shut up! Shut your mouth!
Help! Somebody
all
help
right,
me!
All right, Grandad, see how you like this.
No, please! Oh!
Money.
Take it. Take it. You've hurt me. I'm bleeding.
Oh, just keep it. Otherwise, I'll cut your flaming head
please,
off.
Please, no. No, no, no. Oh,
got
no
it.
No more, please.
What's the matter, Grandad? There's blood coming out of your mouth. What are you doing, Grandad? Get up! Get up off your knees! What's the matter with you? His neck. There's blood coming out of it. There's the roar of fountain. Must have nicked a vein or something. Old man. Stop chaffing him and get up. Get up! He snuffed it. I've killed him. I mustn't panic. Take it easy. I mustn't blow my call. I'll take the money and get out of here. I don't need the wallet. I'll take the watch, though. He must have some pins and things. Yeah, that's it. Now I'll blow.
p.m. Vera and Arthur Haynes are still tidying up the flat prior to going to bed.
No, Arthur. I feel very sorry for poor old Henry. He's lost everything.
I suppose we all have old age to look forward to with a certain amount of dread.
You just close the door on the balcony, will you?
Yes, yeah, sure. We're lucky we've still got each other.
And you're still working. Don't forget that. That makes a big difference, doesn't it? Arthur? Arthur, what are you doing?
That's Henry's car down there.
Oh, it can't be.
It is. I know it anywhere. Besides, that's where he always parks it. I think I'd better go down and see what's happened to him.
Happened to him?
Well, he's no chicken anymore.
You mean he might have a heart attack?
Well, it's possible. Shan't be long. Can only be just round the corner here. Unless he's gone to find a shop with cigarettes. On the pavement. That could well be Henry. Dear heaven, Henry! Oh, what's all this? It's blood all over his neck and shirt. His coat too. Henry, what the devil's happened to you?
The phone. What do you phone for the police?
Police? Oh, what's the number? Oh, what's
the number? What do I phone?
414, I think. What's the matter?
It's Henry. I found him on the pavement round the corner. He's dead.
p.m. Henry Bannerman's killer finds himself in Sea Point.
Killed a man. Blood on my clothes. All I need's a cop to see me, and that's that. They lame me. I didn't mean to kill him. It was an accident. But what am I going to do? I've got to have an alibi. None of my mates would cover up for me. Not as they know what I've done. I've got to get away to somewhere safe where they won't find me. Where they won't think of looking for me. I must think. Blood on my clothes. People must think I've been in a fight. Yeah. A fight. That's it. That's my alibi. If I'm arrested for being in a fight, well, they'd never think of looking for me in a cell at the police station. Police station, that's what I want. Oh, now wait a minute. It wouldn't do if they found me with the knife. Let's get rid of the knife. But where? In the sea? That's too far to walk. I mustn't waste any time. Must get to the police station as quickly as I can. A drain, that's what I need. I'll drop it down a drain and it'll never be found. Never. Never.
11:30 p.m. Seapoint Police Station. With apparent drunkenness, Henry Bannerman's murderer weaves his way towards the sergeant on duty behind the counter.
Good evening, officer.
Not that you'd know what time of day it was. What do you want?
I want to confess.
Oh, what have you been up to?
I've been in a fight. Look here, there's blood on my clothes.
Yes, you don't look as though you've been in a fight. Leaving the mark on you.
What happened was I assaulted this other fella.
Is that so?
Yeah.
And where was this?
Just down the road.
Hmm. You've been potting, eh?
Yeah, one or two, man.
I think you better go home and get some sleep.
Yeah, no, you don't understand. I stitched this guy up.
Which guy?
Oh, man, I didn't know. Some bloke in a hotel. I'm guilty.
Ah, you're a rotten actor. Now go on home before I lock you up.
No, that's what I want. I wanted to pay for what I've done.
Go on, Buzzworth. I'm too busy to have to mess about with things like you.
You don't want to arrest me?
Not yet. Just get a little more troublesome and I will. So go on, Buzzworth, now.
But you've got to arrest me.
Only if you're a danger to yourself or other people. I reckon you've got enough steam in your legs to get you home.
Yeah, but I want to be locked up.
Ah, go on, get out of here. We've plenty on our plates without you.
All right, if you won't arrest me, I'll do something that'll make you arrest me.
Sure. Go on home, you'll feel better in the morning.
Yeah, I'll see you just now, don't you worry.
11:40 p.m., Greenpoint. The stabbing of Henry Bannerman is being investigated by Detective Sergeant Swanepoel, who came in reply to Arthur Haynes' call to 414. He's waiting for the district surgeon's preliminary report on the deceased.
Well, Sergeant, it's pretty obvious. The stab wound in the neck here severed the jugularis interna and penetrated the trachea. The blood from the jugular vein followed the path of the knife and was drawn into the lungs by the action of breathing. That had explained the blood in the nose and mouth. I'm not sure whether he bled to death or was drowned in his own blood.
And like father, like son.
Yes, I know I should have asked first, taking the old man's new 69 cadet like that. But I had to find out all about this extra value jazz. And it's true. Like, they may have put cigarette lighters and two-speed windscreen wipers and courtesy lights and a lockable steering wheel into them, but it goes deeper than that. I mean, look underneath, at the thick undercoating they've given them, at those corrosion-resistant brake lines. And then, look under the bonnet. There's a dual master cylinder brake system, meaning you've always got a reserve of safety. Oh, and talking about safety, there's that energy-absorbing steering column. Well, I hope I never need it. But it's good to know it's there. And you get all this on every cadet. Two or four-door sedans or caravans, L sedan and coupe. Which, between us, is the cadet I'm getting. Oh, meanwhile, back on the ranch, the older generation is pacing the floor. Don't call out the squad cars yet, Dad. I'm coming.
11:45 p.m., Seapoint, not far from the police station. Henry Bannerman's killer, having failed to get himself arrested on a charge of being drunk and disorderly, walks a little way from the police station and decides to break into a parked car.
Thinks he can get rid of me, does he? But I'm not going to be fobbed off that easily. I reckon that if I thump the side vent of this car with this brick, like this, and stick my hand through the window and open the car door this way, shouldn't be long before I attract somebody's attention. Nobody yet. So I'll slide in behind the wheel and start fiddling with the ignition wires under the dashboard. There we are.
Hey, what the devil do you think you're doing? Get out of that car. Go on, get out.
All right, no offense. I was only trying to borrow it.
Bandit chick, why is that the police station, too? Go on your feet.
All right.
Now, look what you've done to my car.
I needed to get back to town.
No, I'm taking you in there.
Into the police station. Yeah. Now, I've been there already. They don't like me very much.
Sure, you're drunk.
Yeah, drunk and in charge. Will you lead the way, or shall I?
Go on, man, into the police station.
No, I'm going. You can tell the man there what I tried to do.
Don't worry, I will.
Yeah, mind the steps.
Chicky devil.
Yeah, they're not going to be pleased to see me.
Good evening, Sergeant.
Good evening.
Hello.
Oh, no, not you again.
You see, I told you they don't like me here.
Now, what's the trouble?
This man broke into my car. He was obviously going to steal it.
I thought I told you to go home.
Yeah, you did. And I told you I didn't want it.
All right, let's have the details.
12:10 a.m. on the 8th of April. Detective Sergeant Swanepoel has taken the blood-smeared wallet to Caledon Square, where he gives it to a fingerprint man.
What's this?
It's a wallet.
I can see that. Where did you get it from?
Scene of a murder. It's the only clue I've got.
Whose is the blood?
The deceased's. An old man who'd been to visit some friends. He was stabbed and robbed.
Yeah, every weekend's the same. Monotonous. Do you want me to see if there's any dabs on this?
Please.
All right, come on into the office. Well, now, let's see. This is a beaut. Thumbprint, I'd say. I'll just transfer it onto one of my little sticky papers. There we are. A Lulu. A case of the bloody thumbprint.
That's it.
No chance of this being the deceased?
No. He had no blood in his hands at all. No, this is the killer's.
You want me to check the files?
That's going to take some time, isn't it?
Yeah, deadly routine. Foot slogging all the way.
It's got to be done, I'm afraid.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll start here, I think. Records. Fingerprints taken from known criminals.
This is going to take all night.
It'll take longer than that, unless, of course, we're lucky. Might come across something. Well, here we go.
12:20 a.m. At the Seapoint police station, the man who has struck Henry Bannerman down so cruelly is being prepared for detention.
What is your name?
Norgarb. Andrew Norgarb.
Address?
Haven't got one at the moment.
I've no fixed abode. They got any money?
Yes. No.
Make up your mind, yes or no?
No.
Turn out your pockets.
I've got nothing.
Turn out your pockets. Where did all that blood come from?
I told you I was in a fight.
So, you have got money. 10, 20, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4. 34 runt. Where did you get all this?
I won it playing matches.
Is that how you got into the fight?
Yes.
Let's have the watch.
What for?
Don't argue. Give me the watch. I'm going to give you a receipt for it. You'll get a receipt for everything. Anything else of value?
No.
All right. Let's have your tie.
What do you want my tie for?
We take it away from you so that you won't do yourself mischief while you're a guest here.
Oh, I see. Anything else you require?
Yes. I want your fingerprints.
What for?
Listen, my boy. Don't give me a hard time. I know what I'm doing. Just do as you're told. Attempting to steal a motor car is a serious offense.
Will I go to prison?
That depends on the magistrate. I reckon I'd give you 3 months to keep you out of mischief. Give me your fingers.
I can manage it.
If you don't mind, we'll do this my way.
8:25 a.m. Detective Sergeant Swanepoel comes into the records department balancing two cups of coffee. He puts one down on top of a filing cabinet in front of the fingerprint expert, who's still checking the cards in the files after being at it the whole night.
Yeah, I brought you some coffee.
Yeah, thanks. I reckon I could do with some.
Any luck?
No, nothing. I've been through them twice.
No chance of you having missed anything, is there?
No, no. It's a very distinctive print. Look, I couldn't have missed that twice. Sorry.
So, what do I do now?
Well, I'd say it was your headache. Was there anything missing from the body?
According to his son, I've just been on the phone to him now. The bank presented him with a gold watch on the occasion of his retirement. An Apollo. Posh job.
So, all you have to do is trace it.
That's all.
Well, I don't envy you. What'll you do?
Send a description to all stations, along with its serial number. It's a long shot. It might take months for it to come off. On the other hand, it might never come off.
I wish you luck.
Thanks for all your help.
I'll be seeing you.
Where are you going?
To get some sleep.
Lucky devil.
...10:37 a.m. The magistrate's court. The sergeant who booked Andrew Norgaard is completing his evidence.
And was back in a matter of minutes. He'd been discovered breaking into a parked and locked vehicle by its owner. Owner arrested him and brought him to the police station.
Is that so? The evidence of the sergeant is correct?
That's quite right, sir.
What have you got to say in your defense?
Nothing, sir.
I see from the file that you're of no fixed abode. And yet when you were taken into custody, you were found to have 34 rand on you. Are you a hobo?
No, sir.
Not yet, eh? Yes, well, taking things into consideration, I'm going to send you to prison. There's far too much of this sort of thing going on. I think we should make an example of you. I'd appreciate it if the gentlemen of the press would give my remarks some prominence in their newspapers. 3 months without the option of a fine.
The 9th of April. A description of the Apollo watch and its serial number is circulated to all police stations in South and Southwest Africa. The fingerprints that were taken from Norgaard are photostated and sent to the main centers of the Republic. A set is put into the files at Caledon Square by a young constable who has no reason to check them against any others on record. June the 25th. With the onset of winter come the rains. Those gentle, soaking rains born of the mists which shroud the Cape. The city engineer's department receives a report that a series of culverts and stormwater drains is blocked. A team of municipal employees is sent out to deal with the matter. The cure lies in unblocking certain pipes and sewers. During the course of the work, a Bantu assistant finds the flick knife thrown down the stormwater drain by Norgaard.
What you got there?
It's a knife, sir.
Whose is it?
Oh, I'm not knowing, sir. I'm finding him down there.
A nasty looking thing.
He's like the sailors carry, sir.
Is it? Hey, wait a minute. What do you suppose this is?
It's rust, sir.
It's not rust. It's blood that's dried. Look, it's all over the blade. I'll take this to the police. Yes, I'd say it was blood, too. Where did you find it, you say?
Down the stormwater drain. Not very far from here.
Couldn't have been down there very long. Otherwise the water would have washed the blood away.
No, Sergeant. This particular drain's been dry all winter. Due to a blockage up the hill. I should think there's been water in that drain since the end of last winter.
Is that so? It's a matter of routine. I think I'll send it along to the government laboratories in Orange Street.
Thumbprint on knob setting blade would appear to be right-hand thumb of the accidental pattern type. The blood group, after extensive analysis, proves to be of the AB group.
On checking our files, it was found that the fingerprint corresponded identically with the prints taken from a prisoner involved in a car theft case in April. It also corresponds with a thumbprint found during an investigation into the murder of Henry Bannerman and Greenpoint on April the 7th of this year. I can offer no explanation as to why the fingerprints in our records were not matched before. unless it be that, as appears to be the case, the fingerprints from the car robbery case were sent for general filing sometime after the search involving the thumbprint on a wallet in the murder case.
Is this where the prisoner's gear is kept?
Yes, all safe and sound until they're released. What was this chap's name again?
Norgard. Andrew Norgard, number 593671.
671. Yeah, 671, here we are.
Thanks.
Yeah, what are you looking for anyway?
I'm not quite sure. I might be wasting my time. No. Wait a minute. Are these clothes clean before they've packed away?
Oh, yeah, sure they are. We have to be careful of vermin, you know.
What do you make of this? Here, on the sleeve of the jacket and the shirt.
Right. Yeah, looks like a grease mark.
I think it's blood.
Laundering failed to remove every trace of the blood, which upon analysis proved to be of the AB group, the same as Henry Bannerman's.
That's one of the smartest things I ever saw, Mr. Norgard.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think I've got the picture pretty clear now. You held up Henry Bannerman. There was a struggle. You stabbed him. He fell to the ground. You took his wallet, took out the money, and threw the wallet away.
No, that's not true.
Let me finish. It was then that you saw that Mr. Bannerman was dead.
No, listen to me.
I think so. You panicked. You decided very cleverly that the one place nobody would expect to find you, the one place the police might not think of looking for you, was in prison.
No, please.
So you got yourself arrested. You were tucked away for 3 months in the durance. Very clever.
It's not true.
I'm afraid it is, Norgard. I've got proof. The blood on your shirt and on your switch knife match. It's Henry Bannerman's. The thumbprint on the wallet and the button of your switch knife, they match too. They match your thumbprint. And if that wasn't enough, you conveniently left your wristwatch, or shall I say, Henry Bannerman's wristwatch, in the care of the police at Sea Point Police Station. These are things which the cleverest lawyer won't be able to argue against.
It was an open and shut case. Despite Norgard's clever ruse to escape detection and hide himself in prison, the machinery of the law caught up with him. When the Norgard case came to trial, the judge decided that premeditated murder was far from Norgard's mind when he struck Henry Bannerman. He decided that it was rather a case of culpable homicide. Norgard was sent to prison for 15 years.
These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. They are the men of squad cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.